You're listening to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Assume these are the same. As we get into hour three. Well, it's from round one.
Is it round one?
Flames game day brought to you by South Point Toyota. Red tag days under the Toyota Tower of Power. Pre-order from over 500 incoming new Toyotas. We will secure your new vehicle ASAP with zero down and no payments until October 2022. OAC. That's right.
OAC.
South Point Toyota. As it is a game day, Flames, Oilers, game two.
Here we go.
Friday night. Series shifts to Edmonton after tonight.
Boozy McBooze face late start.
We had
long weekend.
All eyes on the Dome on Wednesday. Fans in Edmonton are just waiting. Give us our crack to show you what we've got up here for the Battle of Alberta. They are patiently waiting. Will they have it? A 1-1 series, or will it be an 0-2 hole for their Oilers heading back there? We'll find out by 2 a.m. this morning. Who knows how it's going to
go. Depends on many overtimes.
We'll see how it goes. You mentioned earlier that our boy, our NHL insider, Frank Saravalli, suggesting that Leon Draisaitl and his ankle injury, not the only one of significance that's being treated for by the Oilers right now, and might be the more insignificant of the two.
Mm. He did better in game one, to be fair.
Yeah, he did. Was limping, apparently, coming out of the post-game stuff.
Limping.
Yeah, he got on the limp. So much attention. This is from Frankie Boy. Frank Saravalli, dailyfaceoff.com. So much attention has been focused on Draisaitl and his high ankle sprain that the status of Darnell Nurse has been largely overlooked. It's entirely possible Nurse is the more banged up of the two as he battles what sources indicate is a core muscle injury.
Core muscle injury.
That may require off-season surgery to repair. Two of Edmonton's three best players aren't anywhere close to 100%. Nurse failed to register a hit in game one and appeared to be more tentative than usual, especially in and around his own net where his physical presence is usually felt most. How could you expect him to be anything but if that is indeed the injury? Everything a player does, skating, leverage, shooting, generated and stabilized through the core. And if the eye test didn't tell you enough, just look at the ice time. Mm-hmm. Nurse averaged 25.03 during the season. Remember last season, postseason had 62 minutes in that triple overtime
loss.
That's
right.
Anyway,
that was crazy.
He's a minute muncher. Wednesday, 18.08. His fewest minutes of the entire season, save the April 22 game against Colorado when he left with an injury that caused him to miss the final four games of the regular season. So,
one shot on net, minus three, 18.08.
No hits, and he was kind of one of the guys. It was certainly Cassian, but Nurse also one of the guys in the crosshairs by fans saying, where are you? And is it the same injury that forced him out at the end of the regular season? Is this on top of that? We'll find out whenever
the season ends. Not before then, I bet.
But there you go. That's where Frank Saravalli's coming in. Just more, all the more reason for the Flames to be
take care of business tonight.
On their horse, physical, impose it. And win game two tonight.
Text line's good. Very good.
Is that right?
Yeah.
960-960 on the text line. What do you got there? Anything you can actually say?
Nurse threw out his back and caused that core injury carrying that unproportionally heavy wallet. It kicks in next year, guys. He's still making reasonable money now.
Holy cow.
No one gets... They're not playing with wallets.
You don't think he's got...
They don't get paid in bills. It gets transferred to an account of sorts.
Because if you sit down
direct deposit,
your wallet's too big, it can kind of affect your
Here's another one. Maybe Nurse injured his neck slash spine when throwing that dirtbag headbutt. He was suspended.
That's right.
For
he got
game
a game
six.
For the old headbutt on Dunno in round one.
It was weird because during gameplay you didn't really see it, and then I was like, "Hang on a minute. Someone in the truck mentioned. Let's have a look at this." And then the more you watch, you're like, "Oh, there's a lot of intent there. That is not an accident."
My favorite drinking game. Where was Nurse on that one? Drink.
Wow.
I mean, if you like getting drunk.
Very good. Let's talk about, we'll get into tonight's game and all that coming up. But the challenge is, what do you expect? And there's no way to know. The playoffs
there's no
have
notes
been,
from game one. You can't learn anything off
I just,
that.
There's no way to look at game one and say, well, this happened, so that means this. Or what do you take? Injuries, I suppose. Obviously, Chris Tanev didn't play, so there's a chance he may not play tonight. And with him out of the lineup, that not ideal. And if, in fact, there's a core injury, if there's it, yeah, that's significant. But what possibly the power play? Oilers, they could have 5 power play goals tonight. We have no idea. There's just no, that's not happening again tonight. Which is probably unfortunate for everybody going. I think how many? Will we see 20 goals tonight?
We could settle in for some tonight. Playoff hockey. I don't know that more preseason hockey is needed. It was really odd, the vibe there, because there was just no tension. And even when they tied it at 6-6, it was like, well, okay, but who's going to score next? To have a playoff game in the Battle of Alberta and that everyone was ready to shake fists and there was just no tension at all. Maybe for what? The 2 minutes between Yamamoto's goal and then the eventual Rasmus winner? I don't know. Maybe it's because I was getting walked out of a suite at that point. I don't recall.
I was going to say that you lack recall on a game that you were at a 10. That's not shocking at all.
Yeah, it was a minute and 29 seconds.
I don't remember what happened.
No, I remember what happened. I just didn't feel tension there. Well, those fans were excited, but they knew the team hadn't played well enough to really be like, This is not on merit here.
So what's happening at Florida last night? They lose 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The President's Trophy winners.
But are they in trouble? Because they've only lost 2 on home ice so far.
They were, you couldn't beat them at home. From the start of the season, remember they were racking up those home ice. Didn't they have like 2 franchise home game winning streaks? 34-7.
Ooh, that's good.
In the regular season. They're 0-2 versus Tampa. Down 0-2. This feels over.
I mean, you got to win game 3, and then you're a puncher's chance away from being all square going home. But we didn't expect it 0-2.
1-1
in their
game.
Building.
1-1 game, 3:23 to go, power play.
There's your chance. You're 0-23 at that point, 0-24 in the series.
25.
Well, that last power play was your chance.
Oh, yeah.
So they were 0-24 to begin that power play, and?
Nothing. How does that team?
They scored 2 goals in 2 games, if I'm correct.
9 playoff games, 25 opportunities with the man advantage, 0 goals. For one of the highest scoring teams. Were they the highest? The highest scoring team in the regular season. 340 goals. Goals for. And where were they power play? But almost doesn't matter. When you have
power
play is
24%. That's top five in the league.
Yeah, that's plenty.
That's real good. Top 5 in power play. Goals for per game, number 1. 5-on-5 goals for against, number 4. Points percentage, number 1. Regulation wins, number 7. Like, they're good at everything here, Dean. But not beating Tampa in the playoffs yet are they good at.
Verhaeghe had the big series going in round 1. Had, what, 5 goals in 2 games?
2 game winners.
Yeah. He played 19-31, but was questionable to start. Andrew Burnett says he's some... bumps and bruises. When bumps and bruises could keep you out, potentially?
It's more than that.
Sam Bennett, four shots.
Have we seen playoff Sam Bennett?
57%. I can't tell you. I haven't watched it that close. I watched more of last night's than game one.
Scored two goals in two games. Come on, guys.
And you loaded up. Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot, you went for it. You're all in, Manson. As you would be.
Not Manson, excuse me, Montour.
As you would be. And then St. Louis.
What?
The Colorado. Series is tied at one. Kyrou, Perron with two, and then Saad into the empty net as they win 4-1 over the Lanch. That was the first they had lost eight straight to Colorado, going back to 2001. Really? That's right. Landeskog, MacKinnon, Rantanen. That number one line. Last night, that's the lone goal. The three have factored in on the same goal 13 times.
Which good.
Is pretty good. Blues were outshot 54-25 in game one. Outshoot the Avs 32-31. Last night, Buchnevich, two assists. Perron, two goals. Seven of them in eight games.
How good's Perron been?
It's the year for sure. Has
27 goals this year. That's his highest total since 13-14 when he played for the Oilers.
Whoa.
They got a problem in net, Colorado?
No.
Where's your...
They're 5-1. It's probably a little bit knee-jerky to suggest they do. Did they have a problem in net last night? Maybe. You told me they were tipped.
Well, they were tipped, and in the first period, actually, Kemper was very good.
So I'd say no. Could there be a problem down the road? Sure. I mean, we had Andy Strickland on yesterday, and he said, look, there's one guy that's shown he can be an elite goaltender in the series. That's Bennington. He's like, okay, well, Kemper's not bad. He's played on some bad teams. The regular season numbers are very tight, especially the second half when he got acclimatized to the new environment, so to speak.
Was it the pot?
No, not the altitude nor the pot, nor the fungus, which I think is legal there. I think it was more just, what's this defenseman's tendency on, he's trying to block the shot, which lane is he? What am I guys doing? When I go behind that, where are you going to? Woodley was saying you want 15, 20 plus games to get used to just what's players around you, never mind anything else systems-wise that's going on. What are your D doing? What are your tendencies?
Fungus.
Fungus, yeah, that's legal there.
Where do you fall in on that? You have any opinions on that one way or the other?
Well, they tried to make everything illegal and threw a bunch of money at it, and that didn't stop it. So if you're going to make it legal and actually make money from it, I feel like that's where governments are at on it.
Oh, okay. What about you?
I love a good mushroom pizza. You? I had a build your own last night. Mushrooms, banana peppers, yeah. Olives,
yeah, of course.
Chorizo.
Hey, Dumont, do you want to play that thing?
Yeah, sure.
You know that thing we got?
Yeah.
Why don't you play that thing?
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
Do you want to sit lower bowl at the Saddle Dome to see your Calgary Flames? Here's your Flames playoff code word.
Your code word, red lot.
Word? Say that again. Sorry. I...
Red lot.
Your playoff code.
That's your code word.
Word.
Red lot. Doom da doodle a doo.
Now, heads up. The red lot, because of the wind and the weather and the whole thing, it suffered some damage on Wednesday.
It's danger.
It is not open tonight. There will be no red lot viewing party tonight. Or on Sunday for game three.
Really?
However, Sunday, Game 3 in Edmonton. They are going to be opening the Scotiabank Saddle Dome for the Sea of Red family viewing party. 5 o'clock is when it will open.
Ooh.
Get in there and get ready. Now, how do you get tickets? They will go on sale tomorrow morning. They are free.
Sale for free.
But you need to secure them in advance. Maximum 4 tickets.
It's a family viewing party, Dean.
Family viewing party, Ryan. You don't need to tell me.
Okay.
Look inwards, booze hound.
I'm not going to the Dome on Sunday if I'm going to get booze hounded up.
The tickets have no cash value. They're non-transferable. You got to use them yourself. So don't. The Flames ask, please, only secure what you know you're going to use.
Don't waste, people.
Don't waste. Huh. It's a reduced capacity. They're not putting 19 grand in there. It's going to be a smaller crowd. So don't take tickets you're not going to use.
Mm.
This is from the Flames. We understand the demand for the Sea of Red family viewing party will potentially outweigh supply.
Oh, dear.
And we'd like to reiterate our tremendous gratitude for the extraordinary support of the Sea of Red.
Maybe if they got that new building, they wouldn't have supply issues, Dean.
Well, I don't
even though it's a smaller number of seats they've proposed in said new arena, not the 19,289 in the current venue.
I think they have plenty of seats, frankly. But so there you go. Damn it.
It's all right. It'll be back. There's time. Patience.
Liked seeing the Red lot. Loved seeing everybody out there freaking out.
Well, is Game 5 necessary yet?
Not yet.
And Game 4, they haven't written off for the red lot yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so there's still a chance we get a lot more red lotting.
Well, it's actually Game 3, Game 2, no red lot.
Right.
Maybe a 4.
Hmm?
Although I wonder if maybe.
Is 4 necessary at this point?
I think 4 is still necessary at this point.
Just checking.
Now, did you do the red lot?
No.
All right.
I've been too busy.
You've been in the building.
I haven't in the building.
You've been in the suites.
If I had nothing to do between like 3 and game time, I would have loved to check it out. But no, I've been hustling and racing from one thing to another, dissembling furniture and reassembling furniture and pretending I know how to coach kids soccer, all kinds of nonsense. I don't know how this happens to me. Someone checked the box and
well,
it was
you're
not
married.
Me about coaching. Yeah, there's that. Kids.
You're married with kids. What are you going to like? You don't have any choice in the matter anymore. It's over.
Done a little digging on the mushrooms in Colorado.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, since May of 2019 when it was decriminalized, apparently.
Apparently.
Very few cases of any incidents that are negative. So they might ease magic mushroom laws even further. Wow. Well, that's an exciting development.
Oh, good, yeah,
more
yeah.
easements.
Well, here's hoping that Western Conference final matchup comes through.
Yeah, I don't think in Missouri they got the same vibes of
no
the psilocybin.
They got something else there.
What's that?
Not as good.
Missouri?
Yeah.
Smoked, barbecue?
No.
Eh?
Not as good.
Weed?
No.
Hmm.
Probably worse for you. Drug-wise.
What is it?
Meh.
What do you mean meth?
What do you mean meth?
Meth.
Meth?
Meth.
They've legalized meth in Missouri?
No, I'm just saying that Missouri
what
has
are you
meth.
Talking about?
There's meth in Missouri. I don't know.
Only Missouri?
No, everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say. Don't know what that makes you Missouri.
When you drive in, welcome to Missouri.
The meth
Missouri.
Capital. Of
we've got meth.
Meth-Zuri.
Meth-Zuri. I feel like this is slowly turning into a Breaking Bad episode.
Did you see the, speaking of the Flames, the lovely little thing they did online
lovely
yesterday?
Little thing online?
With Ben Stelter,
young
the young
man in Edmonton, yeah.
The young Oiler fan.
Play La Bamba, he says, right?
That's right. There was I didn't see the original video, but apparently he's a huge Oiler fan, and
apparently?
He was shooting his Nerf gun at Matthew
oh,
Tkachuk.
Oh, dear.
So Matty had a sign yesterday. It said, hey, Ben, you know, even though you're probably not cheering for me, just want you to know that that I am and we are and all of Calgary's cheering you on.
There was heck, yeah.
Nice little photo of the Sea of Red, Harvey the Hound in there with a little sign. So there it's...
The Hound.
That's what I like. You know, we're all... We're all in this together.
And get the stuff out of the way in games 1 and 2 before, you know, we get...
That's right. And let Brady Tkachuk have some beers and enjoy himself. Fun police.
Who's policing here? I see a lot of defense attorneys. I don't see
no,
a lot of police.
You know what, though? You don't get defense attorneys unless somebody's stirring the pot.
There's a lot of hot takes about how this is okay. And I'm like, well, who's saying it's wrong?
Get after it.
It's his offseason. His brother's playing. Gets a chance to go party in Calgary. Floor it, son.
Yes.
Yes.
I said it yesterday, and I really feel, and who knows, maybe this is it for Brady Tkachuk, and we see hear nothing more of him for the rest of his career.
No.
But he's a young man. We've already seen him shirtless at weddings and behind bars and doing... Mm-hmm. He is that guy.
Yeah.
He is the next generation of Rob Gronkowski.
He's NHL Gronk.
He is Gronk.
NHL Gronk.
Shirts off, chugging beers, in with the fans.
Beers in his back pockets.
Love it.
Give him the keys to the city. Let's go.
Old man won't throw his hat in the ice for his kid's hat trick. It's perfect.
Probably needs that hat so he's not getting foam and spray all over him sitting next to Brady. It's like SeaWorld, three seats around him, just covered in beer.
But you know there would be some fuddy-duddies who'd be seeing this the wrong way. It's like, well, Calgary fans, what would you think if Matthew was at Brady's games and wearing Brady Tkachuk shirts and celebrating? I would say, yeah, it's his brother. Mm-hmm. Drink him if you got him. Why can't we have fun? And you might be right, because I mostly support. I don't know why it would be shocking that a dude would be going out and having some beers at his brother's game. Remember, Johnny?
Well, how old is he? 45? Brady?
If he's underage, okay, then we got to have a talk about some parenting, but I feel like parents have done a fine job there.
I've just looked here. He's 22. He's legal to
me. So he's fine?
Yeah, he can do.
Okay, good. Okay.
And he is of the age where, I mean, when you're 22, you have a few beers?
How's life?
Pretty good.
For Brady at 22.
I mean, he only made $4 million this year in actual money. They're going to backload that a little. Jeez.
He's Gronk. Love it.
NHL Gronk.
Because remember, if that was Sidney Crosby, not the... Look at this. He's the face of the franchise. He should not be out there chugging beers. He had his shirt off at a wedding. Now, it's Brady Tkachuk.
It's almost as if Brady was not raised in some sort of PR-controlled laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Yeah. He's got a personality. He's 22. Likes to do things 22-year-olds like to do.
I hope... He raises the bar a little bit tonight. Get your shirt.
Now, is that a comment on what's happened thus far, or more just how excited you are about?
I want him to give
his potential
to give the middle finger to whoever, even if it's a small group of people out there that are thumbing their nose at it. Get after it, Brady. It's an 8:30 start. You, like everyone else, should be well lubricated by the time puck drops tonight.
If he's sitting in the same seats as Game One, he's not far from Chris Sutter territory too.
Get after it.
Dance tandem. Let's go.
Let's get
some sandstorm going. Let's rip this up. Darude, let's go.
Who will be on the camera more tonight, Brady or Matthew? Could be six of one, half a dozen of the other. Would you like a nice story, Ryan, as we bring this segment to a close? We got to get to
feel like let's do that. Yeah. Sooner is better. Let's get this nice stuff out of the way before BOA 6-2.
Chris Foucault, Calgary kid, former member of the Calgary Hitmen. Selected by Minnesota in the fourth round. If I recall right, he was on my team. I'm 1-0 at the Hitman Intersquad.
Oh, you and Retro.
No, I defeated Peter Lombardius, actually. Mm. Lubo was on the other bench. We found a way. I believe Fuchs was on my club that day. Anyway,
yep.
Fourth round pick, 09. He had shoulder surgery in March and is on summer vacation in the Bahamas, and I'm trying to see what day this was, but it was recently. It just happened. May 10th. There we go. 10 days ago. Foucault, having lunch with his wife and two children on the north shore of Nassau, heard a ruckus, a commotion down by the beach, and there was a body in the water. Somebody struggling out in the waves and that. Foucault, swimmer, spent a lot of time. He's a very strong swimmer. Drops the phone, drops his food. In he goes. He says, quote, "As I got through the wave, I saw her lifeless body floating on the top about 50 feet in front of me. I actually thought I was just recovering a body. When Foucault reached the girl, he said her lips were blue. There were brown and white fluids leaking from her mouth and nose. Only the whites of her eyes were showing. She was completely unconscious. Foucault lifted the girl above the water, saw her fingers and toes flutter, adjusted his weight, put her on his shoulder, surgery, so he's swimming with one bum shoulder and a girl, gets close, another man comes in, helps him, gets her out, luckily lifeguard there, runs over, Foucault is out of gas, he's like gasping, they got CPR, resuscitated the girl, taken to hospital, lives on.
Oh my God.
Literally a lifesaver and a hero, Calgarian Chris Foucault, former member of the Calgary Hitmen. How about that? Isn't that great? Didn't even think twice, dude. Phone, food, down, I'm going. There's other people on the beach, but he decided I'm doing this thing. That was very cool. Great story there. We'll come back. Cavalry FC in action. It is Friday, which means the Speargrass Golf Show, and we'll get in some of your texts with what you want to talk about all before the top of the hour. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
On our way towards 9 o'clock, after 9, Flames talk, Pinder, and joining him today from Flames Nation, Ryan Pike.
Maybe, yeah. Just thinking about it, I think he said he was busy Fridays. Okay, well, we got to book a guest.
There you go.
Say honesty is the best policy, Dean.
That's a, yeah, but especially with
it
this show.
Just hit me 2 minutes ago.
No, you're good.
I'm going to clarify that.
Figure it out. So now what's happening?
I'm good. I'm more than happy to.
No, because Dumas is a big soccer honk. Dumas, very excited for what's coming up. So lay it out for us. Cavalry FC, what's cooking here the next few days?
Well, man, they got Valor coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Big game on top of the table there, trying to fight, get some points, getting Pacific, trying to chase them down. And then, just the MLS side, Vancouver Whitecaps coming in next Wednesday night.
Oh. So is that a big deal?
Right? Are you kidding me?
I think Mason might know.
You would know.
Mason Trafford, Cavalry FC. Is that a big
deal? Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing just fine. So when the Whitecaps come in, do they come in just all full of swagger and they think they're going to walk out here, it's going to be easy for them, then they get punched in the mouth?
Do they come in on buses or is it like hovercrafts and helicopters? How do they arrive? Like just even
Those are both great questions. Honestly, I don't know what the mentality is from the team coming in, to be fair, because they haven't had a great track record against CPL teams in the past. Obviously, we had a nice bout with them in 2019 where we knocked them out, and last year Pacific knocked them out. They did obviously just beat Valor 2-0 at home. So I think they've realized it's a serious game, and they'll probably come in here full strength and with some other big names, and it'll be a pretty epic game if you ask me.
I always see. I was at the Impact game and the Whitecaps game that year in 2019 when we had, fans and stuff before the pandemic, and it was year one of the franchise. That those were really, really massive occasions. It was almost like a validation of the CPL in a way. Whereas now, I think it's like you don't have to tell the Vancouver Whitecaps to be careful. As you noted, they've lost twice to CPL sides. I wonder what you see from them in terms of roster and effort.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think, I think they're coming here to win. You guys set the stage at the beginning of that, and the occasion kind of explains everything, right? This is a quarterfinal, Canadian Championship. That means top eight teams in Canada are left. The other cool thing here that I don't know if, didn't even quite think about this, and I won't think about this too much more than on this chat here, but we're three games away from being the best team in Canada at any level and then going on to represent Canada in the Champions League, which is pretty crazy to think. That's three games away. That's three wins away from that. So the Whitecaps truly are thinking the same thing. They want to be in that tournament. They want to play against the best of the best across North America in the Champions League. And this is a good way to do it. So I have no doubt they're coming in here now ready to go, fully recognizing, what we've done as a club and our history, not only just the 2019 matchup where we did beat them, but just, today's sports world, they're watching video and they'll know what we're about and they'll know what Spruce Meadows, ATCO Field is about. And I think it's going to be a fun game for them too, because they have a huge presence, their brand here in Canadian soccer and especially here on the west coast of Canada, or the western side of Canada. So it's got a lot of storylines, this game, and it's going to be a fun one for the city and for our club.
What's the health situation around the club? Boy, there's been some tough season-ending-ish injuries around. Is that concerning? Is it next man up? Is it all the above? Like, how do you deal with that as a player?
Yeah, we have had some unfortunate injuries to some big players for us. I guess that's the nature of the game, but we're getting guys back every week now, some of the less severe injuries, that is. And honestly, it's not top of mind at the moment. We are in a good rhythm. We're four unbeaten. What are we at? Three wins and a draw in the past four games. So we're just focused, honestly. We show up in the morning and we're focused, and we're not even really thinking about Whitecaps yet, to be fair. We're thinking about Valor tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then after the Valor game, we'll debrief and we'll prepare for Wednesday night, which we know is a massive game. Again, it's probably one of the, if not the biggest game we've had since 2019. So we're ready, and our squad is it's coming back together here.
Boy, parity's the name of the table right now. Pacific's well away from second and in top spot, like quite a distance, 8 points up, and 2 points away. There's two teams at the bottom that aren't. Everyone else has 8 points. You got five teams locked at 8 points, tied for second. Valor's one of them. I don't know where I would have had them preseason, but what have they done well this year, and how much parity are you seeing around the league here in year four?
100%. It's really evened out. I think Pacific right now is up there, but we're still so early in the season, and I think things will continue to change, right? You still see Forge down there towards the bottom of the table. You can't expect to see them there for too much longer, as we know their history and we know their side and their quality. So I think what we'll see from Valor is they do have quite an exciting attacking unit, really good on the counter attack. They try to stay strong defensively and hit on the break with some really pacey players and some tricky players out wide and up top. So it's going to be a battle. I know Phil Dos Santos well, obviously. I've worked with him in the past, and he was most recently before Valor coaching the Vancouver Whitecaps with his brother Mark. And, you know, he's got a great pedigree in the game, and he'll bring a team here that's going to be tough to play against, and that's going to try to hurt us on the break, I think.
You were just out on the East Coast. Where are you at travel-wise here? Is this a good week for you, or are you more worried about next week? What's the right rhythm for you? How many days in between games would be perfect if you could just set it and leave the schedule alone?
Yeah, I don't mind this Saturday, Wednesday, to be honest, especially when we're at home. So this is it's exciting. I've been listening to you guys this morning. It's an exciting week for sports in the city, that's for sure. Obviously, the Flames are doing what they're doing. Congrats to them. What a show to behold. And now here we are with a game Saturday and a game Wednesday. That's a nice little rhythm for a soccer player, especially when you're at home. When you're on ATCO Field, it's a beautiful grass pitch, so it's a bit easier on the body. And it also doesn't hurt when you're playing the Vancouver Whitecaps Wednesday night. That's a nice one to look forward to.
Boys talk about the Flames? Is that sort of a topic around? Like, hey, look at this. The city's really rallying around this group. Maybe we could do something special too. Or is it just like, hey, that was cool?
No, for sure. Like, it's quite funny, right? Soccer is pretty international game. So we've got guys from all over the world. And it's funny to see which ones gravitate to hockey when you can tell they've never watched it before in their life. And they get here and they're huge fans of the team, or they're trying to get tickets to go watch the games. And I think for a lot of the boys too, it's just like a bit of a pride in our city, right? We love seeing them do well. And we even had a bit of an activation the other night. I heard you guys mention the Red Lot was closed. That affected us a little bit too, because we were going to do a puck for soccer ball exchange between the two mascots the other night in game one. We were still up there and interacting with the fans a little bit with our mascot Sarge and Harvey, but I think the Red Lot closure affected a little bit of that. So it's even cool to see the clubs now interact a little bit, even if it's just on social media for now. But yeah, we love it. The boys love it, and we talk about it here in the dressing room for sure about the success they're having.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it gets contagious when you go to a sporting event and the crowd experience is awesome, and then something else happens. And we've talked about it a lot here, that if you go to a Cavalry FC game, it's a very unique, and it's the best in the league. Cavalry FC at ATCO Field. So if you're loving the dome, it's an off day. Get down, check out.
Two off days here. These
appreciate that.
1:30 tomorrow. I've always told people, don't expect, I'll just show up right before and then we'll do some fun stuff at halftime. Like, get there early, soak in the atmosphere. Don't worry about traffic and parking. Get there, get your food, get the bands going. I always say aim an hour early and you're in great shape.
Yeah, I think that's key. That's key, Pinder. We have a pretty awesome game day experience here, and a lot of it unfolds before the actual match as well. And, you know, Spruce Meadows is a absolutely beautiful place, and especially this time of year. So there'll be lots happening, and definitely encourage to get here a bit early, avoid the last minute rush of people trying to get in the venue. And then 1:30 we go against Valor.
Thanks, Mason. Go
best
get
of luck.
It.
All right. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Bye.
There's Mason Trafford, Cavalry FC. Two big games. Any men off days? Get out there. Do something. Have some fun.
You really don't put a week together to do that. When do the dogs get going?
How can you handle? I mean,
oh my God. Well, I know I'm going to have to somehow get to that Whitecaps game.
Of course.
I mean.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, you'd be upset at me.
I would.
If I wasn't hungover and awful Thursday morning next week, you'd be mad at me. It would be unprofessional.
What you want to talk about, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe, your experts in automatic door service repairs and replacements. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. So we got a few minutes for you here, 960-960. What are you thinking? And again, it looks like everybody very much on the Brady Kachuk. Yeah, drink them if you got them. Go have a good time. Tell everybody else to bleep off. This one here, can't have fun. Whatever. Remember the whining.
Whining.
When the women's hockey team won gold and they were on the ice celebrating with beers and cigars.
Oh, I thought that was just jealousy from all the other nations because they wish they could drink and smoke cigars
just
after winning gold.
Unbelievable behavior by these women who are supposed to be.
How dare you spend 4 years aiming for a goal, achieve it, and then celebrate? The nerve.
How did Brady get 3 beers? They limit me to 2 at a time.
Did you see the back pockets? The man's got moves. He's a problem solver.
That's what makes him great.
That is what makes him great.
He can accomplish what not everybody can. And this is because I said he's the new Gronkowski. He's the new Gronk. He's out there. He's partying. Everybody loves him. No one judges him. This text is very Brady plus Gronk equals Bronk. I think that's great.
Bronk.
He's Bronk.
It's a great nickname. Brady Kachuk is now Bronk.
Bronk.
And he is a bit of a Bronk. He's very muscular.
Because he's the, and it's the, he's the kind of Bronk.
He seems a little rammy, like a Bronk.
Yeah.
He's got 3 beers in his back pocket, like the Bronk would do.
I would get the t-shirts made. Have him, what could he be spiking? Because Gronkowski's always spiking a can of beer.
I think he's sort of going stone
Bronk.
Cold with all his pockets full. And, with like someone else's child on his shoulders slamming a beer. Yeah. Bronk.
This from Brian. Where is it here? Hey, did the Crack 960 sports reporting team ask Coach Sutter if Tanev is still injured?
Oh, he's feeling great. That's what Coach said.
Brian, how do you think that goes? And yes, he was asked about Tanev, but what do you think the answer is going to be? Oh, well, since you're asking, ordinarily I would not tell you what, but because you asked and because you asked today, be better, Brian.
Ooh.
Give your head a shake.
Oh.
And fire your phone out the window.
Oh, wow.
It's the playoffs.
It's been months since you've told someone to
Well, be
phone.
Better. Oh, did you guys actually... yeah, it's the media's fault. It's Steinberg's fault.
You know, don't ask about injuries or who's playing anymore. I mean, the league should have a policy on it, right? Because the regular season, you're either day-to-day or you're on IR for a week or you're LTI, which is long-term. So why would that open up during the playoffs? Either... Nobody should have to answer a question. And nobody should have to say a question because all it does is, and every team is the same.
Yeah, maybe if Brian was there,
coach,
saying pretty pleased, it would have got a different answer.
Yeah, blame Steinberg.
Good. Bronk can't leave, boys. We got to keep Bronk around for this whole run. Yeah, no, Bronk, don't you dare even try to leave the city unless it's going up to watch him play on the road.
I was going to say, is Bronk going to Edmonton?
Absolutely, Bronk's going to Edmonton.
Because there's two things there now. You're cheering for the Flames and you're Kachuk's brother.
You need an entourage, but I think we saw him in Texas with Coleman's and who else? Some other crew. It's going to be a little more hostile in Edmonton. Might need to get a little security or a suite, but I think Bronk should be bucking in Edmonton. Why not?
And a lot of people wondering, what do you got to do to trade to get Bronk?
It's a lot.
I don't know how you get it done. He's making a lot of dough. They just signed him. He's the captain. I think they're very fond of him there. But, man, can you imagine if Bronk and Math, if the same line?
Oh, God.
Wow. Or maybe you don't want to break up that top line. I'm sure.
If you're bringing in Bronk,
maybe,
I'm okay with it.
Maybe Lindholm's part of a deal. Going.
No. Listen, okay. You had your chance. Pierre McGuire was making hockey decisions there. I feel like the window's closed.
Obviously, Tree needs to get Bronk signed ASAP.
He's already signed.
It's not a free agent.
I mean, maybe it's a mascot spring deal. I don't know if Ottawa's going to be a playoff team anytime soon.
There's no offer sheet available. He's already signed. Now, trade? Anybody's available.
Hey, guys, if Pat wasn't so busy smelling people's hair, maybe he'd have better questions.
Yeah, come on, Steinberg. Bronk isn't sitting in anything but a box in Edmonton.
That would be a smart move if I was a Bronc owner. You know he can handle his own, but do you want to deal with the ramifications of him?
But that's what makes Bronc great, is because he's right in the belly with the fans. He's right into it.
Now, can I bring someone in from Ottawa right now?
Of course.
They'd be familiar with the Bronc scenario. Adam Stanley, our golf insider. We're going to get to the Speargrass Golf Show in a moment.
All right.
But Adam, you're familiar with Brady Tkachuk, I imagine, right? As an Ottawa guy, a sports fan.
Yes, I know who. Yes, I know him.
So
he's crushing beard.
Yes, and so what we've seen is his behavior is very Gronkowski-esque, and so
yes.
So Dean has said, why don't we just call him Bronc, Brady and Gronk Bronc, and he does sort of seem like this unbroken horse that is just running free in his off season. As an Ottawa Senators fan, I imagine. How do you feel about Bronc as a nickname?
I think it's a great nickname. I'm from Toronto, so I'm a Maple Leafs fan. But when the Senators play well, it's good for the city. And I gotta say, I think it's just fun to see Brady out there, kind of doing his thing. I really have no qualms with it. I think if you have an issue, if you're a Senators fan, if you have an issue with one brother cheering on another brother, then you've got more issues than just hockey related. So I think it's fun. I think Gronkowski's got a bunch of brothers too. So
yes.
I can only imagine how much of a scene that whole situation is. But I love it. I mean, that guy named captain for a reason. He's a good guy. He's good in the community. He's good with fans. And no surprise to see him having a great time this offseason.
All right. Well, two things before we move on here, the golf show. So you're a Leafs fan? Is that what you're saying?
I'm very heartbroken about it, but yes.
So you get that.
That's a shovel. That's part of the show.
Then we got to put a wrap here. On what you want to talk about, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Do you own a pharmacy? Find out how Calgary Lock and Safe can retrofit your locks to meet the new mandates. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Game day, helmets on. Time for the Speargrass Golf Show.
All right, Speargrass Golf Show time, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course. How about that? Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience until you're teeing off on 17 and need new underpants. Visit them at speargrass.ca. Adam Stanley from Ottawa, I think. Are you in Southern Hills or are you in Ottawa? Where are you, Adam?
No. Tulsa, Oklahoma did not quite call to me like some of these other spots in major championship golf. So, no, I'm here. But they've got a really nice virtual media center set up again this year. So I'm basically doing the post-round interviews just from home, unlike some of the other tournaments. So it's kind of like I'm there, but not.
So I thought I had all the storylines from day one of the PGA Championship, and I'm like, okay, Canadians struggling, rough day. Boy, a lot of good players having tough opening rounds. Dustin Johnson was not great. Tiger Woods struggled. Brooks Koepka struggled. Some really big names with some big numbers. Patrick Cantlay, amongst others. And then I saw that John Daly hammered 21 smokes and 12 Diet Cokes, and I'm like, I'm sorry, we've buried the lead. That is the most impressive feat from day one.
He had himself a day. I think that tweet that was going viral was from another event. But that being said, he still, arrived, had a McDonald's cup full of Diet Coke, jumped in his cart. We think he jumped in his cart because the PGA of America has given him an exemption to use a power cart during their championship and just kind of zipped along. And the crazy thing is, that dude was 2 under par through 5 holes today, or yesterday, excuse me. He was within shouting distance of the lead. He was leading that golf tournament early on in the morning yesterday. So pretty fascinating. I mean, love him or hate him, he continues to bring out fans. People know who he is. And you know what? He came out of nowhere, won that PGA in 1991, and he's earned the right to play the PGA for as long as he wants, even if that includes riding a power cart and having McDonald's. So good on him.
Who plays him in the movie when we get the John Daly movie, which we desperately need, and or the miniseries or the Netflix series, whatever it is. Like, I want as much of it as possible. Who's our actor here?
Whomever.
Well, it's two. So hang on. It's two actors. It's got to be someone's got to be young Long John, and then someone's got to be like mulleted, yellow beard, heavy pirate John in the second phase of his career.
Anyone who looks good in a fat suit and can really get into that character acting, I think, can really do it. So I would pay good money to see something like that, because I can see the story unfolding just like you said it, kind of
young John, Long John, and then a Faith of Black, and then old Johnny sitting in the bar, and some grungy country tune is playing in the background on the jukebox, and he's, you know, having a case of darts and going on from there. So
light one
who
smoke
knows
off
who's
the last
do it here. one after the other. But yeah, get one of those character actors, slap a fat suit on them, and we'll be good to go.
What do you make of this leaderboard? Is this now Rory's to lose, or is this course too tough where it's just like, okay, he had one good day, let's see who else can have one good day here?
It's a good question about the one good day, because prior to the tournament starting yesterday, everybody thought that the draw, this late early draw, was actually going to be all okay. It would have been that each guy or each wave of guys would get the late day win. But the guys in this late early draw have really, you know, it's been terrible. They've gotten the wind yesterday, and they've gotten the super high winds again today. So the fact that Rory played really well in good conditions yesterday and will again get the favorable conditions today is making me believe that this is Rory's tournament to lose, because he plays so well when he's the front runner, and he needed this good opening round, you know, more than I needed oxygen, you know, like this guy just needed to go deep, and he did. And he did exactly that. He has that little springy strut that he does when he's playing well. And this is the lowest opening round for Rory in a major championship since 2011. That was the US Open, which of course he went on to win by, I think it was 8 shots. So he's in the mix. He's in a good spot. The fact that he got the favorable draw is going to be good for him as well. And he just seems confident and comfortable, which I think is key for him.
Okay, some other big names in there. JT is just one stroke back, yeah, but he's out this morning. And you noted conditions are really tough right now, so advantage Rory. A couple big names that do have later tee-offs. Xander and the Aussie Cam Smith. Is that sort of where you would start looking for competition? Matt Kuchar's also a late tee time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the JT shooting as low as he did yesterday in the afternoon, I would say that round, tee to green, start to finish, was probably more impressive than Rory's 5-under effort in the easier conditions. So the fact that, you know, JT is still navigating these conditions incredibly well, which is not that surprising, because JT just goes out there and hits lasers like it's nobody's business. I think that if he can get under par and get it in the house at 5-under before Rory tees off, then we may see kind of a Rory JT final group on Saturday, which would be incredible. So really like JT just because of how well he played yesterday in the tough conditions. And Cam Smith, out of all of those names, I think Cam Smith made 7 birdies yesterday, which is exactly the same number of birdies that Rory made. Cam just struggled a little bit from tee to green, but his ball striking, his putting, if that turns the corner, then Cam Smith is going to be the guy to watch later today.
Okay, elsewhere around Canadian golf circles, what's going on in the LPGA? What else is happening of note? I know you've been hyping up the Canadian Open, which finally returns, the RBC Canadian Open, after a 2-year absence.
You know, I know it's I can't believe it's only a couple of weeks away from now, which is crazy, but super exciting, obviously. You know, I don't know what happened yesterday from a Canadian perspective at the PGA. I know Corey said yesterday, Corey Connors, you know, he just tried to do too much with the irons, tried to manufacture a few things, which obviously didn't work out in his favor. Adam Hadwin said that he was just a little bit off, but being a little bit off is really magnified at the majors. And then Mackenzie Hughes, unfortunately, just struggled all over the shop, and they're all well over par. Adam Hadwin looks to have the best chance to make the cut this week. So, you know, again, it's one of those things where if you're off by a little bit, major championship venues will really emphasize that and make it look like you're off by a lot. But, you know, a couple weeks to go until the Canadian Open. All the guys are super excited, and you know, it's going to be an incredible week for sure. The field is shaping up to be absolutely awesome. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is going to be playing, and of course, he already won the green jacket earlier this year. And Rory, of course, is coming back to defend his title. And who knows? Maybe Rory will bring the Wanamaker Trophy with him to Toronto as well.
Oh, well, there you go. Hey, Adam, appreciate your time as always. Thanks, man.
No worries, fellas. Have a good weekend.
All right. Speargrass Golf Show, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience. It's Speargrass Golf Course. Visit them at speargrass.ca. Always cart included, range balls. You're not paying for those. Hit as many as you want. And again, good place to hang out, have fun. Low pressure, great track, crazy three finishing holes. There is the Speargrass Golf Show. Flames talk next. Ryan Pike going to join us. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.